Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Skies of blue and fields of green, water full of atrazine, 100 acres to explore, acres full of done made me gay. When I was a tiny tot, 2-4-D in Paraguay, seep beneath my prairie home, fractured my X chromosome. Besides, done made me gay.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a punch keys throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in demand.
This hour of The Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. And by Birchold's Floral Gift and Garden Center. Get green, let's get growing. If Mike says he's growing a pear, he's literally growing a pear. What did you think he meant? Get your minds out of the irrigation ditch. Here he is, Mike Novak.
One more time. Well, here we are on the 30th of June, 2013. It ain't a whole lot like the 30th of June, 2012. And Rick DeMaio will probably tell us about that. Except if you're in the western part of the country. My goodness. That's just insane. See, but this is where we're at now. When we talk about climate variability, that's the cool weather in the Midwest, the hot, ridiculously hot weather. What was it? Death Valley had 120 something yesterday.
123.
Whoops, let's turn that microphone. That would help if I turned your microphone on there, Don.
Are we on? There we go. Yeah, 123, I think it was in Death Valley, 117 in Las Vegas. Want to stay at the tables.
Yeah, really. And how long until the air conditioning stops? Good morning, everybody. Let's see, who's a
roll call.
Mouseketeer roll call. Count off now. Cubby. Okay, Cubby's not here. Darlene. Darlene didn't make it. Annette. Oh, sorry. Carol.
I am here. Woo.
Yay, Carol.
Hi, Carol. Good morning.
Good morning.
Sarah.
I'm here.
Lisa.
No,
Lisa. Rob! Where's Rob? Oh, I...
Rob is probably listening on his
I
way
I know
right
he's
now,
listening on his way in, because he just tweeted. He says he's on the way. Because he wrote, he says, too bad he's on his way to the studio. And I tweeted back, we're locking the door.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
And he said, you better change the access code, too. Already done. Annie Haven is there tweeting, good morning, Annie, with manure tea since 1924. Give her a little ding there, and she'd probably be happy about the show today because at the top of the show, you heard that song called Herbicides, which I love.
I think it's fitting for parade day.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I thought so, too.
Lovely day for a parade.
Cool, good weather. And that person who sang that is Susan Werner, and she's going to be here live in studio. I'm very, very
awesome.
Excited. Yeah. Now, I'm going to cop to something. I'll tell her. Well, if she's listening, too, she'll know. I had never heard of her until this week. You know, you're supposed to, you know, as a show host, you're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to say, oh, I followed you ever since the beginning of your career. No, not so much. But it took me about 10 minutes of listening to her music to become enthralled with what she has to offer. She has a new CD out called Hayseed. And if you're a fan of Susan Werner, you're welcome to call when she comes in and, you know, say, I'm a fan, hi. Or just tell me why she's wonderful. Tell her why she's wonderful. But she is going to be doing having an appearance next Friday, July 5th, at City Winery, which is at 1200 West Randolph Street in Chicago. And she's kicking off a national tour, and I guess it's for Hayseed, her new CD. Now, if you think she's just country, you got another thing coming. She kind of does it all. And, you know, we'll talk more about that in the second hour. But she's a local woman. She grew up in Iowa on a farm. She lives in Chicago and has done all kinds of different music. You could say country, folk, pop, jazz, rock, torch. Classic, you know, does standard, not standards, because I believe she writes all of her own music. And she's here in the second hour. And that's going to be a lot of fun. In the first hour, not so much fun.
Thanks, Mike. Welcome back to the air, Don.
Yeah, really. Don Guzan. The Plant Man.
That would be me, the one, the only, the Plant Man.
The Plant Man. Now, this is a guy. See, the only reason he's on the show, the only reason is because he's not doing radio anymore. I hate competition.
I know. It was kind of interesting how soon you invited me on the show when you found out I wasn't doing my show anymore. It was like 30 seconds or less.
Well, you know. I'm pretty thin-skinned, I should let you know.
Yeah, I kind of figured that, but mm-hmm. No problem. I'm happy to be here.
And I've been trying to figure out, even after writing up your bit in my on this week's show, and you can always go, you know, every week when I have a radio show, I sit up very late on Saturday night writing these blurbs. So please read them. Otherwise, what am I doing? Ruining my Saturdays. You can go to MikeNovak.net and log on to this week's show. And all the information is there. I include links and stories and photos and everything that has to do with the show. So if you're listening to the show and we talk about a link and you go, why, I didn't catch that. Then you just go to this week's show and you can link on to whatever.
Mike, so, I have a confession.
What?
I didn't read my little blurb you wrote up. So what are we talking about today?
Don, I'm shutting off your mic. Right now. That's all right.
I don't expect my guests to read it, actually. I expect my listeners to read stuff.
Is that so you can ambush me?
Yeah. You know, my favorite question from PR types when I have guests on the show is, so what do you expect to ask? And my standard response is, well, it depends on what they say. Because the next question comes from the statement before.
You mean like doing an interview?
Yeah. You mean like actually listening to what the guy just said and then asking a question based on that? No.
It's a great concept.
You know, and then so my standard answer for the PR types, and this is for you PR types listening and you want to book somebody on this show, and I love having people pitch me on stuff. It's great. You know, most of it, you know, goes in the garbage, but sometimes it gets through. My standard response is when they ask, well, what are you going to ask the guest? And I usually say, oh, nothing that they haven't answered 1,000 times already. Don't worry about it. And then, of course, I sucker punch them on the air. That's why I have such a great reputation in radio. But Don... So I'm going to sucker punch you several times.
All right, that's fine. Go ahead.
I don't even have a punching noise here. Pew, choo. I need one of those. Don Guzan is... okay, so as I was saying, I was writing up your blurb and trying to figure out what it is you do. And I'm still not sure.
A to Z, Mike, A to Z.
Yeah?
Green industry, A to Z. Anything that is involved in the green industry, I'm probably have my little fingers in it one way or another.
Such as?
Well, one thing I'm doing right now is I'm actually doing an initiative to trying to get professional certifications for people within the industry who, based on education and or experience, just to raise the image of the industry. And to start tying it into, we have the traditional green industry, mm-hmm. which is agricultural, horticulture, you know, all biology based and all that sort of thing. And then we have the new green industry, which is more environmental and, you know, feeling good and all that sort of thing.
Now, don't get too touchy-feely about
that. I'll try not to. But I'm trying to bring all of it under one envelope of the green industry.
Can I stop you right there?
Sure.
There's already a group that does that.
Well, there's Planet who does it to a certain extent, right?
I'm going to shut off your mic. Ever heard of the Midwest Ecological Landscape Alliance, which I founded?
Yes, I did.
Are you a member?
No, but I get their newsletter, so how's that?
Wow. Okay.
I'm not pretty much not a member of anything.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That's one of my quirks.
You're rogue? Is that
I'm rogue. I don't like professional organization. That's why I'm trying to form professional certifications.
Was it who was it? Was it Woody Allen? He said no, it was Groucho Marx. Yeah, I should have known. He wouldn't want to be a member of any organization that would accept him. So I'm paraphrasing here, but yeah. But that's the deal. No, I'm just saying that there are organizations, like you said, Planet is one of them. Mila is another. And Mila is based right here in Chicago. And I don't do it to toot my own horn because I'm not involved in the day-to-day operation of it anymore. But it continues to go forward, and it's becoming bigger and better every year. And that is one of the things going on, as you mentioned. The green industry... has decided, you know, in the last 10 years that it needed to be green.
Right.
And that's kind of a sad commentary. Now, my buddy Dan Costa is going to be listening. I don't know if you know Dan.
I've heard the name.
Yeah, he works at Vern Goer's greenhouse in Hinsdale. And he always gets on my case for beating up on the industry. And I don't beat up on the industry. I prod it with a cattle prod. I want to help the industry move forward and be greener and more sustainable.
Likewise.
And that's kind of what you do.
Yep.
And as we mentioned earlier, Don used to have a radio program somewhere in the area. That's it's all right.
See? Well, I did until the format. We had a format change, and I got a phone call weeks before the format change.
No.
Now, I found out through the grapevine that it was going to happen, but no one bothered to tell me.
Did they go religious?
No, they went ESPN Spanish Sports.
Oh, my goodness.
So I got a call. I was down and talking to, I believe it was the Itasca Garden Club, doing a seminar on proper pruning procedures, and got this call from the general manager at a station who I had never talked to in the 7 years I was there, because I did the show on Saturday, so no one was around.
Hey, see, at least you got a Saturday gig. I've been
instead of a Sunday gig.
Years.
So, yeah, I got this call, and it's like, we're changing to our format to ESPN Spanish Sports. So I guess you have 2 weeks more in your show. That was the
yikes. Yeah, but you know that's the way it happens in this.
Yeah,
at least you got 2 weeks notice.
Well, I was surprised I lasted 7 years. You know, I was like the next to Jerry and Nick with their Garage Talk. I was the second in seniority on the station. So everybody else in that 7 years got canned, like totally.
So this Garage Talk, is that anything like Car Talk? You said
it's similar to that.
Those guys got
they're
canned
up in,
too.
No, they retired. They didn't get canned. They
different
retired.
People. Yeah. So these guys are a little bit
and everybody
younger,
now canned, is trying so. To be the new, you know, Car Talk.
And the new Click and Clack.
Click, yeah.
Yeah, I think they actually changed it to a hunting show. But it's, you know, they go from cars to hunting.
If you could see my face.
Yeah. So, but, that was always their interest, you know, anything, you know, manly, hey, gearhead or, you know, guns or whatever. And you're talking to an, veteran United States Marine Corps gunsmith across
from you.
Hold on.
All right,
thank you.
I got to give you that.
So, which is funny because
I need you for legitimacy. That's why you're on the show here. All right, give me because I did not serve. Okay, what can I tell you?
I'm a Vietnam vet.
Good for you.
Spent the end of the war there, but I had one of the last 2 year enlistments in the Marine Corps, and it lasted 1 year, 9 months, 4 days, and 24 hours.
How long are they now?
It's 4 years or
okay.
better.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I can't imagine how you could even become a Marine in less than 4 years or only 2 years.
Well, you could.
Aren't you just sort of figuring things out after 2 years?
No, you figure them out pretty quick through boot camp. Otherwise, you're
gone.
Are out.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so you either get with the program or see you later.
Yeah.
Or you could be like my oldest brother. 1969, he got drafted, went down at the AFES station downtown where I also went. And they had them count off 1 to 4. They said, okay, all you fours, take one step forward. Congratulations, you're in the Marine Corps. Duh.
That's
not
fair.
The way they did it. Well, the military is good, but
so
there's
we find
no
out
fairness.
There's no fairness in the military and no fairness in horticulture.
Exactly.
You know, that's the way those things go. Because sometimes, darn it, you get hit with aphids. And sometimes you get hit with neonicotinoids.
That's right. In the case of Safari.
In the case of 50,000 bees. I like that for a segue. 50,000 bees that found an untimely end in a little place called Wilsonville, Oregon, a couple of weeks ago.
Did they count them?
They originally said when the story came out, the Xerxes.
25,000,
they said 25,000. And then the Oregonian, which is a great newspaper out of Portland, upped the number to 50,000. So they must have done a little research on it.
And the Xerxes organization, the society, also said that they were all bumblebees. So what was that all about?
Well, mostly bumblebees, apparently, but apparently other insects were killed. But it really, bumblebees were the main thing.
Right.
Now, we're going to talk about that in a second. I'm teasing people with this because there is actually today in Wilsonville, and it's in a Target. That's the other thing. Okay.
Target.
It's at a Target. And I mean Target as in capital T, Target, where you buy stuff. Parking lot, linden trees, that apparently had aphids, might not even have had aphids, but maybe it was a prophylactic spraying. I don't know for sure.
Why would anyone spray when things are blooming?
First because you're stupid?
Well, ignorance kind of comes
ignorance?
To my mind. Yeah, you didn't read the damn
S-T-O-O-P-I-D?
Label.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D? Yeah. So they sprayed Safari while the trees were blooming. 50,000 bumblebees died. So, here's the other thing. When you think of aphids, you think of honeydew. Because they produce a sap as they're feeding on plants. And, it can be a nuisance if it's in your trees and it falls on your car.
Parked underneath it.
Yeah. Guess what it said? The Oregonian reported, and I'm reading here, a Target representative said by email that the Wilsonville store had received no customer complaints about it. So it doesn't matter, we're afraid that somebody might get a little bit of sap on their car or on their hat. So we're going to kill 50,000 bumblebees because we're stupid. Just unbelievable. So there's actually a memorial today.
Do you know if they were licensed?
I think we're going to find that out. I think that they're being really quiet now. It was a landscaping company that is in deep doo-doo right now. That landscaping company will probably not be in business any longer, I would hope.
Another one bites the dust, I guess.
Yeah, well, this is what, isn't this the Darwin?
Only the strong survive.
The Darwinian principle, except that by the time we lose all of these landscaping businesses, we will have lost all of our insects as well. But it's disheartening, isn't it? So they're having a memorial there in the Target parking lot, apparently, today. I can't wait to see the news coverage on it.
I want to see the signs.
I think it's a brilliant stroke of
It is a good PR.
Guerrilla PR. I mean, who's speaking for the insects? And you don't get this because
you mean they're little friends, as they refer to them in the article?
They're little friends.
Our little friends.
Well, okay. They are. You know what?
Now, are they still your little friend when one, stings your neighbor who's allergic to bee stings and dies from the allergy? Are they still your little friends then?
Yep.
Okay.
You just, as we said, horticulture isn't fair. Entomology isn't fair either.
No, it isn't. But as we segue and into this, we're going to talk about some solitary bees, okay? I'm sure they weren't even in the total of 50,000.
Right, and a lot
of them are very small.
We've had two segues in the last 5 minutes. It's great.
Sounds like my old show.
that's Don Guzan. He is the plant man, and yes, we will talk about solitary bees, how they relate to bumblebees, how they relate to honeybees, what you can do to help the bee population. And this is just the beginning of this talk. I have been working on getting Dr. May Barenbaum. Do you know her from University of Illinois?
No.
She's an entomologist there. I've interviewed her before, knows a lot about bees. She's still a hard lady to track down. But I'm going to do that and get her on the show, and we're going to discuss this further as we move along. But I had to mention this because I didn't last week, and I'm still upset about what happened there in Oregon, because it just shows what we do, and this is what people do in their homes. And there's a lot of products out there where you can get these neonicotinoids. The one in Safari is called
Dinotefuran.
Yeah.
Is it dino? Dino?
I have no idea.
Dinotefuran or dino?
Yeah, I think
or dinotefuran or
dinotefuran.
Dinotefuran, yeah. and you've heard of imidacloprid. You've heard of clothianidin. There's, and there are groups out there who say this is the smoking gun. This is what,
and it could very well
CCD
be.
Is all about. But the scientists do not say that yet. The activist groups say, nope, we've got it. Here we go.
Are you familiar how they're basically using this active ingredient? They're using it to put on the seeds Yes. Before the seed's going to ground.
Yes.
And it's it acts as a systemic, so it's through the vascular system of the plant, and then it ends up allowing for some of the active ingredient to get into the pollen and the nectar. So when the bees are over there feeding or gathering up the pollen, they're getting a low dose of this active ingredient and bringing it back to the hive if it's in the case of a honeybee. But in the case of a solitary bee, which all the males and females are fertile, they don't have, they're not hiving insects. Mm-hmm. They're getting it through the nectar. So it's actually affecting them also directly. But the other thing is it gets in the groundwater and it gets in the soil.
It
and
persists.
Stays, it's a persistent active ingredient.
Yeah, it says, and I found the story on this. It says, let's see, since 2003, clothianidin, one of a family, one of the neonicotinoids, has been coated on about 90% of the genetically modified seed corn planted in the United States. It was developed to replace older, more toxic insecticides. How can you be more toxic than what's happening to the bees?
Well, replaced nicotine. Uh-huh. Okay, nicotine.
And it replaced the ones that were directly applied to the soil and to make crops poisonous to a wide range of pests. Some view it as more environmentally safe because it is absorbed by the corn as it grows and is contained in the plant. Can't wait for that little glaze of...
Do you know what the mode of action is? It affects the nervous system.
Yes. So. All right, now listen to this. Beekeepers say it's having unintended consequences. In the spring, huge machines crisscross the cornfields where the bees forage. The sticky corn seeds are coated with talc to make planting more uniform. But the contaminated powder blows across the land and the flowers that bees pollinate. Then they bring it back to the hives. Jack Boyne, an entomologist with Bayer Crop Science, and they make this stuff,
mm-hmm.
said that no studies have found the pesticide in bees or their hives at lethal doses. He said Bayer has studied bees that forage in canola plants treated with clothianidin. There was no effect on either the workers, the brood, the fecundity, or the honey production, he said. Bees, he said, face other threats, including diseases and the loss of habitat, which is true.
Yeah.
But most scientists will tell you right now that, they've got viruses, they've got parasites, they've got loss
of... Which are all secondary problems.
Well, they're set
which,
up...
Which, if you have a chronic thing going on...
Like a low-level pesticide.
Yeah, that you can't measure, it makes you susceptible to... Secondary things. It's just like plant health care, okay? No different in the plant community, no different with us.
Mm-hmm. All right, okay. Listen, I'm way behind now. Yeah, now, see, this is... I bet you never had to do commercials on your show.
Oh, sure.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
But I was on time.
I'm shutting your mic off right now. All right, I just did. Now might be the best time of the year to stop into Alsip Home and Garden in Frankfort, Illinois, in St. John, Indiana. Why? Well, both locations are filled to the brim with brilliant blooms. And because the weather has cooperated with rain and mild temperatures, we're headed into July, and it's still fun to garden. Isn't that amazing? I don't know if anybody else feels the same way, but I do. So the fresh nursery stock that comes in every day is going to look fabulous in your yard or on your deck or balcony. And that includes fresh tropicals from California that give your landscaping an exotic feel all growing season long. Not only that, you can take advantage of Alsip sale prices, 25% off on pottery, 30% off on fountains, and you can get as much as 50% off of some of their legendary planters. Alsip Home and Nursery in Frankfort, Illinois, in Route 45, just 2 miles south of I-80, and in St. John, Indiana, on Route 41, 4 miles south of Route 30. Alsip, the best of every season. Alsip is a proud sponsor of Dig In Chicago.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Now that it's summer, insert joke about cool weather here, it's a good time to check your trees for infestations and diseases. Monitor your landscape for thinning canopy, undersized or discolored leaves, or sawdust-like material and small holes in the bark. If you own conifers, watch for spruce spider mites. Some other ways you can take care of your trees: avoid root zones when treating for lawn weeds. By the same, you know, and then we're talking again about pesticides and, you know, putting pesticides on your lawn. And, oh, gosh, my tree doesn't look so good. I wonder what happened. By the same token, avoid root injury when planting annuals and perennials, and avoid damaging trunks when mowing lawns. We sometimes call that lawn mower and string trimmer blight. You also want to prepare for summer storms. Preventive measures can save you money. Well-maintained trees are better able to withstand severe wind and rain. Talk to a certified arborist at the Care of Trees. Call 800-508-9466. 800-508-9466. Now, if you call today on a Sunday, you leave a message and your call will be returned tomorrow. Guaranteed. 800-508-9466, or go to thecareoftrees.com. The Care of Trees is a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. I was just looking here. I want to thank Revolution and Beer, who tweeted the word I was looking for, or the phrase, social Darwinism. But the thing is, they said, Target is stupid. It's not necessarily Target. You know, it's Target hires a landscaping crew. Now, you know,
Property managers.
Yeah. Property managers, you know. Yeah. Good point. Because you've dealt with this.
Yeah.
Don Guzan.
Yeah.
D-Plant Man. You know about how this works. And it's, you know, people are going to point fingers right away to Target, but that's not necessarily the case. You know, they didn't go out and spray it themselves.
No, but they could get some good PR out of it if they do the right thing. And the fact that they're allowing this rally, or whatever you want to call it, memorial. That's going on. Thanks.
Memorial/rally. This really bugs you, doesn't it? No pun intended.
You know, it's a little over the top. You know,
I think it's brilliant.
It is from a PR standpoint, but I'm not really a PR person, so I'm more of a entomologist in the sense that I look at the facts of what's going on, and you know, I had a pesticide applicator's license for 17 years just to have it,
To prove you could.
Well, no, just to know what, you know, to learn the subject a little better than I was, you know, wasn't one of the things that was part of my college degree in any great detail, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the people who get licensed are really scary. I wouldn't let them, you know, spray.
Well, you know, it's like anything in life.
Yeah, there's... you got a certain amount of... people who they need to get the license in order to make a living. And
well, I was just going to say, like in any occupation, there's the bell curve. Right. There's the people at the top of their profession, and there's the people at the bottom of the profession. And then most everybody is somewhere in between.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Hang on for a second. If you're listening to the show and you're a gardener, and, you know, here we are talking about pesticides, chances are that you are looking for products that are earth-friendly and natural. Let's face it, even organic gardeners run up against insects and diseases. That's why Bionide has its natural, or rather Garden Natural line for folks who are concerned about treading lightly on the planet. And one of those products is Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. Everybody in the room, please, can you give me an R?
Arrgh.
Thank you very much. Botides, Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew insecticides contain spinosad insect control, and they control a wide array of insects, including thrips, aphids, Japanese beetles, caterpillars, and other leaf-feeding insects. Remember, and this is something we should have told that company in Oregon, always read and follow label directions. And don't the label directions tell you not to spray when things are in bloom?
In bloom or temperature or wind speed or, you know.
Mike, I did some research on this chemical, and it says that it's highly toxic to bees up, even 38 hours after application.
So it is persistent, huh, mm-hmm. to a certain extent?
Yeah. There's I have to give you some information. Well, we got to get to solitary bees. But at any rate, you can get Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew at these fine retailers: Sonoris Brothers in Frankfort, Karp's Garden and Feed Center in Hobart, Indiana, Red's Garden Center in Northbrook, or go to Bonide.com to find a retailer near you and download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545. Or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
It's time for Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week, brought to you by Bertholdt's Garden Center in Elk Grove Village. Dr. Wally is, now he's one of the good guys.
Yeah, I know Wally.
Yeah, you know, everybody knows Wally. And, you know, works really hard for natural solutions. Now, Wally isn't a real doctor, although he does have a soft spot for Dr. Seuss. Dr. Wally says that the rainy, cool weather one day with blazing hot temperatures the next are perfect for fungal problems like powdery mildew, especially on perennials like bee balm and phlox, and in the vegetable garden on cucumbers, melons, and squash. Stay ahead of the problem and start and maintain a spraying program every 7 to 10 days with Bonide's copper fungicide for organic gardening before your plants are affected. Wally says that many problems can be handled with organic controls if discovered early enough. Bertholdt's Garden Center is at 434 East Devon Avenue in Elk Grove Village, just west of O'Hare Airport. Look for the iconic windmill out front or go to bertholdtsgardencenter.com. Bertholdt's, get green. Let's get growing.
Drifting, this rock got to roll. So I hit the road and made my getaway.
This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. I'm happy to have in the studio today Deep Plant Man himself, Don Guzan. I just want to, Rob, when did you sneak in?
Around 9:20.
It's a good thing I consider 5 minutes late being on time. What? Missed that. Did you say something? Oh, you looked like you were leaning into the microphone and then nothing came out. All right. You got a phone call.
Yes. One of our listeners and callers, Nick in Joliet, called to say that he is an arborist and he has refused to spray in certain circumstances when it is unwarranted, and we just want to congratulate him for having that kind of.
Well, what I wonder is, has he refused his bosses? Has he refused the client? You know, it's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm glad he's doing the right thing, but you know, it depends, because client always wants it sprayed, right?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
they say,
I want it now.
Just get rid
maybe
of it.
You're still
whatever it is.
Maybe call
how
that.
Do I kill it? You know, it's like Dr. Frederick Miller says, people have two questions about insects. What is it? And how do I kill it? And they usually skip the first question. Okay, so let's move on then. So speaking of insects, solitary bees. Now, bumblebees are not solitary bees, even though many of them are natives.
Yeah, they're native bees. So really when you you look at a whole class of insects, the native pollinators.
Yeah.
So really anything that's visiting plants that have pollen and nectar on there, and as long, the more hairs they have on their appendages, the more pollen they'll grab to cross-pollinate. Okay. So it's a whole group of them.
Bumblebee, you're saying bumblebees have a lot of hairs.
They have a lot of hairs. So they do a lot of cross-pollination.
Yeah.
Okay. They don't collect it to, they do collect it to eat some, but they're not raising honey. Okay. They're not a honey type bee. The honeybees we have here are imported from Europe.
Right, Aphis mellifera.
Yeah, they're not native here anyway, okay? And it's like, well, what was doing all the pollination before that? Well, it was the native bees, which are basically the bumblebees, mm-hmm. of which there's roughly 20 species in this area, and the solitary bees, of which there's about 400 different species in this area. And there's about...
In this area?
In this area.
400?
400.
So why don't we know about any of these bees?
Remember the ignorance thing we mentioned?
Oh, that's right. We're all stupid.
Okay. The reason why we don't care about them is because they don't make honey. Okay. If the honeybees don't make honey, who cares that they pollinate?
But, okay? You know, and the other thing you got to keep in mind is that, and I wrote a little thing about, or posted a little thing about native pollinators on my show. It's not just insects.
No,
there's bats and birds and animals and human beings.
Yeah, so
we pollinate things by accident and don't even know it.
The wind.
Right.
So, but anyway, bottom line is these native pollinators, they already do about 70% of all the pollination in the country.
Okay.
And
so then if they're doing that, then why are we taking these poor honeybees and schlepping them across the country just so they can be in California for the almond season?
Because we like honey. That's the whole thing.
But
it's
what about
honey.
It's not for the almond growers?
Well, it is for them, but...
And in Oregon, blueberries, apparently bumblebees take care of a lot of blueberries, but that's not where we're...
What it is good marketing?
Yeah.
Okay.
What? For whom?
Well, for the guys who raised the bees, you know, and started the whole process of bringing them in to pollinate the crops. Okay? It was just a adaptation as agriculture advanced, that was one way to make sure that these crops were pollinated at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
So you would get a maximum crop. Okay. So what's...
Because are you saying that the native pollinators are less efficient and not right on that time schedule?
Well, what you're doing is you're getting rid of their normal habitat.
Well, it's true.
So there's not enough of them to do it. Now, what's happening as the honeybees have started to have the problems is they're being replaced by populations of mason bees, which there's a couple of companies that...
Is a mason a solitary bee?
Mason is a solitary bee. And when you look at solitary bee, what you're looking at typically is a non-aggressive bee because they're not trying to protect the queen. So they're all fertile.
How can they exist without a queen?
Well, they're all queens, okay? So and they're bad parents, okay? So what they're doing is they're looking for a space that they can lay eggs in, and typically it's a particular size of space and an opening, all right?
Yeah.
And if they can't find that, what they do is they'll do it in the ground.
So they would rather have that space.
Well, like,
and what are we talking about? You're talking about an old log. You're talking about
usually, you know, it could be in an old log. It could be between, a couple pieces of masonry. It could really be anywhere. Okay.
And one of the things that I've seen from you is that you create these spaces, you create products, and they're on his website, by the way, which you can link to on my website, mikenovak.net. Go to this week's show.
Right. And we'll put up some of our natural ones too, because we're repurposing wood that are natural. I call them nurseries because that's what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they're earmarked for mason bees, those particular ones.
Yeah.
But the critical thing is, if that bee doesn't have to excavate a hole, it's not using that excess energy to excavate that hole. So it helps the whole population in general. You know, if the energy goes towards the young,
mm-hmm.
they have a better chance of coming out as a more vibrant.
And the point is that these, as you say, bees need place. They need homes.
Right.
And are we losing those bees too?
We are. This stuff affects them also, because
not only does this stuff affect them, but we're devastating their natural habitat as well.
Yeah. And in fact, what the orchards have been doing is they can actually order populations through the mail now. Of mason bees.
Of mason bees. Okay. Not honeybees, but mason bees.
Well, not honeybees. Well, I'm sure they could do more hives, but once again, you know, with the secondary problems and the whole decline in the hives, it's moving more towards native bees. And the reasons why mason bees have taken that spot as being a favorite one that you could get and propagate in your own orchard is because they have both a summer breeding season and they have a late season breeding season going in the fall where they winter over to the next spring. And some enterprising gentlemen have developed a home that has little plastic tubes in it that come apart. And mm-hmm. the whole block of wood comes apart. And after these things lady eggs and they turn into the pupas, and they will take them out of there, clean them up. They actually dip them in a very mild bleach solution of all things. You know, you would think that would send them for a loop. Very mild, just to get off any parasites. Okay.
Okay.
So you're not transferring those to the orchard, and they will put them in in refrigerators and sell it crisp, basically. Keep the humidity up and whatever. So the sell it crisp drawers.
Yeah.
That's where they'll keep them, and then they'll send them through the mail. And they give these orchards instructions on how to build homes for them. And you just let them go in the orchard, and once, you know, they start using the homes, and then it's self-perpetuating.
So you don't have to bring in the bees every year.
No, then they're actually working on the habitat and stuff right
there. That is Don Guzan. He is the plant man. Hey, Rob, let's get Rick DeMaio on the phone. Running late here, but I wanted to take a call while you're doing that. Let's go to Hyde Park. And Earl, it's been a long time since you've called the show.
Hey, buddy. How you doing? I'm a concerned listener.
Oh, well, I appreciate
I've
it.
I've got earwigs that are eating my salvia, some red ones, and so on and so forth, and they devastated those things. The leaves are just like maybe a dental piece for these guys, and it is mushing away. And I was wondering, is there anything that I could apply to that section of my garden that would eliminate them but not necessarily eliminate some of the good insects?
Aha! Uh-huh. You've come to the right place, Earl.
Earl, this is Don Guzan. I'll give you a real easy method to get rid of earwigs. You know, all those little flyers that you get, you know, on your driveway and what have you, or in the mailbox.
That we all hate. Yeah.
Yeah. Roll those things up, you know, put a couple of rubber bands on them and soak them overnight in a bucket of water so they're nice and sopping wet. And put those out on the ground near the areas where you have the earwigs. They will just crawl in there like crazy, just loving it and whatever. Leave them there for a couple of days so you get a lot of them, you know, because the more you get, they're exponential. So the more you cut into the breeding population, the less you'll ultimately have. So after after you give it a couple of days, all you have to do is pick those things up gingerly if you get the willies from them and put them in a, plastic bag and put them in the trash.
Oh, plastic bag. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I love that solution.
Guys, I've noticed that I don't have very many pollinators in my yard. And is that just due to the fact that I feed birds, or there's some kind of thing going around with pollinators right now this year that I'm not out there to pollinate the plants, the flowers that I have?
Well, you have a lot of other flowers where they're going to actually be coming over there and feeding on. Okay, so the more, a lot of people refer to native plants as weeds.
Mm-hmm.
But just
we've had that issue on the show.
Look at some of those and see what critters are going and feeding on those. And, you know, one that comes to mind is I have a lot of tansy by me.
Uh-huh.
And solitary bees just love it. But the parasitic wasp love it, too. And they, in turn, are, you know, they're stinging and paralyzing crickets, grasshoppers, spiders. Even though spiders are good, there's, you know, if you don't like spiders,
also,
they're going to go and
but
take
the,
care of that.
The tomato worms.
Yeah, the tomato hornworms. So
tomato
they'll do that.
Hornworm.
But the mud daubers. The other thing that's real important is that you have a water source. Now, you have to keep in mind that it should be moving so you don't have, you know, problems with mosquitoes. But, you know, it's just one of the things that these wasps and stuff like drinking water, too, you know, along with food. Feeding. So,
Earl, we appreciate it. Great call. You have a great Sunday,
about
okay?
5 foot high, and the other one is about 3 foot high, and they spill over. And is that sufficient for them?
You know what, Earl? I really got to move on. Rick DeMaio's on hold. We got to
okay.
come. All right.
All right, guys. Thanks very much.
Thanks
Take
for
care.
Calling. If you want to call 773-763-9278, we really don't have any time for that because we got to get Rick DeMaio in here and he's going to be here in exactly 30 seconds.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power and more. Rated A+ by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
I am not, I don't know what Don's doing over there, but he's sticking around as I bring in meteorologist Rick DeMaio. I'm going to tell you right now, right at the outset, because I've just gotten so fascinated by the stuff we've been talking about. I might have to hold you over after 10 a little bit, Rick, if we don't get everything in, because
yeah,
I know.
That's fine, no problem.
All right, let's start with the heat wave, okay? Not so much the cool weather here, but the two are connected some way, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw this last year, Mike, when the core of the heat started out in the southern plains and parts of Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Arkansas, Louisiana, and it kind of, you know, kind of nosed northward into the upper Midwest. And that was one of the reasons why up until this time last year, we had 17 days above 90. And we also had our first 100-degree temperature back on the 28th of June. If you go out another, say, 7 days to, say, July 6th or July 7th, Mike, last year, we had tallied 25 days above 90, 4 days above 100. And this year, if we go out to July 7th, with the current cool weather, we'll only have 2 days above 90. So it's all about where that heat sets up. Last year, the heat set up south and nosed northward and basically put us in a drought. This year, the heat developed very quickly out across the desert southwest in California, and it stayed there. And that's kind of buckled the jet stream northward up in the Washington, Seattle area, and has allowed the cool air to basically, you know, push southward into the Great Lakes. So, yeah, the two are definitely connected, Mike.
Yeah, but well, then why is it so hot? I mean, why? What accounts for the extreme heat?
You know what, Mike? I'll let you answer that question. Why did we get so warm last year? What was it? What was our late winter and late spring like precipitation-wise?
There wasn't much.
Yeah, very dry. In fact, California, Mike, had their driest winter ever. Driest winter ever.
Wow.
And when you have extremely dry ground like that, it's one of the reasons why you had some of those forest fires around the Santa Barbara area in like late March, early April. Because it's so dry, you can easily add 3 to 5 degrees on to a normal, you know, record high temperature. The record high fell short in Vegas by just a couple of degrees yesterday, in Phoenix by about 2 or 3, and obviously in Death Valley by about 5 or 6. Otherwise, it would have been global news for them. They had 134. But typically, when you get records this time of the year in the desert southwest in California, you're up around 115, 118. But you've got some desert temperatures well into the lower 120s, and that's just ridiculous heat.
It is. And how long is that going to stick around and affect us as well? And will it affect us eventually?
Well, it's one of these things where it depends on how much of the heat can actually make it over the mountains and into the plain states. Really tough for that to happen. But if you recall back in late April, early May, when you had that spike of heat across the Midwest, Minneapolis at 98 degrees. That was basically an elevated level of heat that came all the way from California across the Rocky Mountains right into the Midwest, kind of undisturbed. The problem, though, is every time it's been moving across the Midwest, it's been producing rain. So it's not like it hasn't had an effect on us. It's just actually produced rain as opposed to warm weather.
All right, here's what I'm going to do. Hang on a second. I'm going to tease people because Rick's forecast is going to come right after 10 o'clock for all those people getting out of their cars and going to church. I apologize. But
no problem, Mike. We'll talk again next hour.
And so hang on, and we will get back to Rick DeMille right after the news. Now, have you ordered your CSA share for 2013 yet? In case you didn't know, CSA stands for Community Supported Agriculture. You pick a farmer, pay in advance, and then get weeks of fresh, healthy produce for the term of your order. There's still time to sign up, and I want you to consider Purple Leaf Farms, run by a friend of the Mike Novak Show, Jessica Rinks. She has started her own local sustainable business in suburban Elgin, and she grows vegetables, herbs, and cut flowers using organic methods. No synthetic chemicals, herbicides, pesticides, or synthetic fertilizers. If you have a Purple Leaf Farms CSA, you will be getting a weekly supply of fresh, local, and pesticide-free food for the whole summer starting in July. Their options include full and half shares, and in either case, you get fresh-cut flowers and at least two kinds of herbs. You can even get a flowers-only option. There are pickup locations in Elgin, Forest Park, Oak Park, Heinz VA Hospital, and the UIC Chicago campus. Shares run through late October. Know your farmer. Go to purpleleaffarms.com or call 312-437-7542. 312-437-7542. Mr. Guzan, what are you and Carol doing out of over there?
We're respelling my name on your website.
Did you?
Correct now.
Wait, how do you spell it?
There's no Z.
How's it spelled?
See, if I had a Z, I'd be Hispanic. If I had an O at the end, I'd be Italian.
How's your name spelled?
You know, you mean there's
G-U-Z-A-N.
No. What? You're confusing yourself. You said there's no
G-U-Z-A-N.
Correct.
All right. That's what I have on the website.
Now.
No, you mean the Facebook.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There's a difference. I got it right on the website.
Right under the picture on the website.
Is it spelled incorrectly?
Not anymore.
Oh, it says Guzman. No, it's Guzan.
Right.
Sorry about that. All right.
That's all right.
Hey, Don.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for stopping by.
My pleasure.
We're going to do it again.
All righty.
All the city kids, they had it better than us. They got to go have fun the minute school was done. They didn't ride the bus. All the city kids, they had brand new Schwinn's. Ours had rusty tires held together with pliers and some cotter pins.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. And by Birchold's Floral Gift and Garden Center. Get green, let's get growing. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
Carpet on the stairs, they had beanbag chairs, they kept diaries. All the city kids, they had fluffy little dogs. A dog that sits and begs, a dog with all four legs, didn't smell like hogs.
You're hearing the sounds of Susan Werner, who is in studio with me, and I'm happy to have you here. Hey, good morning.
Good morning to you.
I saw you getting the tour of the facility there.
Yeah.
And I'm looking around, I'm going, what's she doing in the control room over there?
Well, I was asking some questions about your operations here, and he said, too, that your online presence is growing. Which is really exciting that your streaming listeners are growing all across the country.
Which is cool. Yeah, I get folks in I don't know, California, New Jersey, North Carolina, New Mexico. I mean, everywhere. I'm always amazed when I get emails from these folks who are listening to the show. In fact, if any of you are listening right now, just feel free to tweet or send us a Facebook post. And now, see, this is the only reason I'm having you on the show, Susan.
This should be good.
I know. This is what I said to Don in the first hour. I have these conditions for people to be on the show.
Well, you should. You should have standards.
And my standards are pretty low. I just want some Facebook likes. That's all I'm asking. And I know you got a lot of Facebook friends, so I'm hoping that your Facebook friends who are listening will just go to my Facebook page, The Mike Novak Show, and... And just, you know, pop the little like button. That's it. Well, see how easy that is?
Well, the thing about your streaming presence, nationwide presence, is that it's a point of view, right? Your show has a point of view that even though we're sitting here in Chicago, it's a point of view that carries across country. And I have a friend who says, live in Chicago, and she says, Chicago sits in the middle of the country, and as trends fly from New York to Los Angeles... Chicago plucks those out of the air that make sense.
And then sometimes they just fly over us and there's nothing we can do about it. Now I'm going to finish some business from the 9 o'clock hour, if you don't mind, because I want you to meet my meteorologist, Rick DeMaio. Sometimes we call him Ricky D, but I don't think he likes that very much. Do you, Rick?
No, I can be called Ricky D. That's fine.
Does that work?
D for Rachel.
That's what I'm known amongst my my friends in jail, Mike. Like, you think about how you can get your show to go nationwide. There's an app called Inmate Radio. You get a lot of people.
Is that why you have that teardrop tattoo? I didn't realize that.
Oh. Yeah, it's mom one way and upside down. It's wow.
You mean when you're standing on your head, right?
Yeah, right. Well, watch me do those chin-ups that a lot of people do. Anyway, I like that idea earlier about the getting rid of the earwigs. I like that. What do you roll up the newspaper? What is that? Yep. Roll up the flyers? I do that, and you know, and then you hold it in your hand. When you see one walking across the countertop, you whack it.
Whack it, right.
It works out really
well.
No.
You wet them, and then you leave it by. This is obviously, Susan grew up on a farm, and this is not going to work, on a large scale. But on a smaller scale in the city, with your crops and maybe your community garden, this is one way you can get rid of some of the earwigs it's so natural and so easy. That's what I like about it. You know,
those things, Mike, are, without a doubt, you can agree, are probably the ugliest looking bugs. It's the kind of bug that when you see it, you get the willies. You go, ooh. You just kind of look at it. It's got that look on it. It's like, oh, my God, those pinchers on
the
back.
They are nasty. It's like the bug they put in, it was in one of the early Star Trek movies. Second one, I think, the Wrath of Khan. They put it in what's-his-name's ear.
Well, you know what?
Earwig.
That actually came from a TV show. I believe it was back in the early 70s. I forget the name of it, but... apparently they put the bug in the guy's ear and it ate his way all the way through his, you know, his head.
Oh, it does not. Yet. Stop that now. We got people eating breakfast. All right.
Yeah, including myself. Yeah. yeah. And all of a sudden, believe it or not, because I'm outside on my balcony, I'm looking down. I'm like, I hope an earwig didn't just crawl into my cereal there. you never know. It's a bunch of flax that I got at Whole Foods. I got to make sure that there's nothing natural, fully natural in there.
You are well protected because you're high above the fray.
Yeah. There's no problem there. But, Mike, I know you love this weather, and I know a lot of people who grow anything outdoors love this weather. I think it's one of the best seasons I've ever seen for things like geraniums and roses. But, my God, after 9 consecutive days of rain, we can turn the spigot off. I think you can agree on that.
Has it been 9 consecutive days?
Yeah, 9 consecutive days of rainfall. And, mm-hmm. and you know, some of those, like if you remember last Tuesday night into Wednesday, it just didn't stop raining. We had that line of thunderstorms develop across the northern suburbs, generally from about Cary through about Algonquin and Palatine, just north of O'Hare into the northern parts of Cook County and Evanston, And I know you were south of that rain, but it was really difficult for me to get any sleep that night. I had about 3 inches of rain. I know here officially measured about an inch and a half. But we got some areas, you know, over 6 inches in about a 3 to 4 hour period of time. And it just shows you how much water vapor there's been in this atmosphere.
Yeah.
And we've been lucky enough that the lake breeze has been as cool as it's been. Because otherwise, we would have had heat index values probably close to 100 degrees this past week.
I know.
We got hot, and then we cooled down again. It was quite amazing.
That's what I can't understand. You know, I kept waiting for this blast of heat, and it never came.
Well, part of it, again, I think, you know, from a numerical model standpoint, this time last week, everybody was looking at the same thing, which was heat building from Iowa and Illinois and Missouri across northern Illinois, and it looked like temperatures were generally going to be in the low to mid-90s. But the upper levels of the atmosphere have been still so very cool, and you can kind of tell that because we haven't really had a day where it's been completely sunny. There's been a lot of these high, thin clouds moving across the area, and that's evident of the fact that the atmosphere is still very cool. So anytime we get these thunderstorms that develop, you get these large areas of cool weather to kind of pull down from the middle part of the atmosphere, and consequently, we stay fairly chilly. In fact, if you remember, there have been a couple events that came through where we had thunderstorms that went from 88 degrees down to 68, and it stayed like that for about 4 or 5 hours, and that's very unusual. And the fact that the lake is still running about 15 degrees colder out of the middle of the lake compared to last year at this time is a testament to the fact that we're just not going to get in a very, very warm pattern for a long period of time. So
okay.
The pattern that we've had this June is basically it probably for the rest of the summer.
Wow. So give us the lowdown. By the way, the big storm last Monday knocked our power out. Lightning strike about five doors down, we think. It was loud. Fried the TV. Which was probably good because I was the only person left in Chicago who didn't own an HD TV. This was still a cathode ray tube television. It was just nasty, weighed like 800 pounds.
It helped up a lot of plants, right?
And so the Blackhawks are playing game six.
Right.
And I have no TV.
Yeah, terrible timing. I think that was a calling card from Boston.
I sat in the car in the dark on my street and listened to games, the last 10 minutes of game six, which was just amazing. And that's how I heard the Blackhawks win.
Never a sporting event like that in the city of Chicago. But the bottom line is, Mike, the pattern that we're in right now, which is obviously a cool one, is going to last for the next 5 days. So low to mid-70s today, a beautiful day for the Pride Parade down in the Lakeview area. So you can't do any better than that for this time of the year, when this time last year we had temperatures generally in the low 90s. As I mentioned last hour, if we go through July 7th of this summer, which I think we will, without another 90-degree day, we will have had only two so far this year. Last year up until July 7th, we had 25. And we also had 4 days where the temperature eclipsed the 100-degree mark.
Mm-hmm.
So far this year, over 28 inches of rain. That's 3 inches more than what we've ever had from the period from January 1st to June 30th. That's those statistics from our good climate friend Patrick Sketch. So far we can say that the first 6 months of 2013 have been the wettest ever in Chicago. And believe it or not, there have been some spots in the Midwest that have actually been even wetter. Some areas over 3 feet of rain. So low to mid-70s today, mid-70s tomorrow, staying in the mid-70s, believe it or not, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, next best chance of even 80 degrees, probably not until Friday.
Wow.
And what's better, Mike, is we really begin to dry out. We need to dry out the soil a little bit. So fantastic weather for the end of June and the first week of July. Enjoy it, because as soon as we get hot and humid, everybody starts complaining about it, right?
That's right. That's what we do best. Rick DeMaio, always a pleasure hearing from you. Thank you for sticking around for a little extra time, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, Mike. Have a good Fourth.
You too. Bye-bye. Wow, we didn't even talk about that. Didn't even get into the whole 4th of July thing, but that's because Susan's in the studio. I mean, there's just always too much going on. That's one of the things I found out about.
You have a lot of friends.
And I have to accommodate all of them.
It's a big party.
I'm very pleased to have Susan Werner in the studio. She's going to be appearing this Friday.
In Chicago. Is that the kickoff for your tour at the City Winery?
It is. The record just came out, and Friday night's the big night at City Winery, which I've never played before. I've played the City Winery in New York a couple times, but never the one here in Chicago. And the City Winery is great. Like, they'll have a couple bottles of wine with my face on them. Like, they put your face on the label. Yeah, for real. And then they have,
and you're
like,
going to save that. You're never going to open that, right?
Yeah, you know, it's not like Silver Oak, but, you know, it's pretty good. It's pretty good, I got to say. And then they have bottles of water on the table that are, it says Rom, like Rom's, like Eau de Rom, because it's Rom, it's tap water from the City of Chicago. For real.
Really?
Yeah. See, okay. You know, yeah, that's what it is.
And then you go off and you do this tour. And it, from what I read, it also includes farmers markets. You're going to be performing in farmers markets?
Yeah, we've already done a couple test runs in Eastern Maryland and then in Cleveland last week. We'll be doing these all across the country until like Thanksgiving weekend. You do a show at night and you do a farmer's market during the day.
Uh-huh.
And the intent is to bring the growers and the farmers closer to the music, and to bring the music closer to the growers and the farmers, and to have music in a farmer's market and have this sort of interview conversation component. That is my favorite part of the whole tour, I got to tell you, because I've been doing shows for how many years? But to do an interview with a farmer, because most growers are introverts. I mean, I think you know that. Most farmers, growers, are kind of people who prefer the company of nature to the company of other human beings.
They prefer the company of carrots to the company.
Well, right. Soybeans don't talk back. So it's always fun to talk to them and have them reveal themselves in ways that they haven't prepared their comments. You know, they're not media heads. They're just farmers.
Right.
And it's the greatest. They're my people. They're my favorite people.
Well, in just a couple of minutes here, I'm going to have Susan perform for us here. She's got the guitar.
Yep.
And we're going to have to do something. I don't know if you're top of the show. I played the pesticide song, or herbicides, rather. Sorry.
Mike, it's herbicides with an H. You know, that reveals that you're a city person, that you said herbicides. Herbicides.
Herbicides.
If you say herbicides, any farmer will know that you're a city person. So herbicides.
I got city person tattooed on my forehead. It'll take about 6 seconds for anybody in the country to know that I'm a city guy. All right? So I'm not worried about that in particular. And I say pesticides, too, because herbicide is a pesticide. A lot of people lump the whole thing under, so it's right. Interesting that you didn't call it pesticides rather than herbicides.
Well, herbicides.
Herbicides.
Herbicides. Well, herbicides sings better. It just does. Pesticides, yeah. You got to stop for the plosive, you know, P is a plosive consonant.
I keep forgetting about the lyric thing, right?
Yeah, herbicides.
You know, I've been known to write a few lyrics myself. Nothing like you do. I mean, your lyrics are top notch. But what I think I'm going to make you sing to start is now. If I asked you to sing something from another CD, I want you to start from Hayseed.
Okay.
But at some point in the next 45 minutes, if I ask you to sing something else,
sure.
Would you be willing to do that?
If it's in my current repertoire, happy to do it.
Yeah, because you got to practice, you know.
Well,
you
some of it, if it's tricky, yeah, it might be hard, but I'll try for you.
That would be cool.
You like the torch stuff. I'm getting this impression.
I did.
Yeah.
I really liked... okay, let me find, because I'm not going to remember, but the one, okay, hold on, because, and this computer probably won't cooperate because it never does, because I did a little digging around, when I first got the information about you, and I'll cop to it, I had never heard of you.
but I know who you are, and I knew who you were.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh. I listen to 820 all the time driving around town.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm embarrassed. Wow. Well, that's cool. All right, now I can't find... Where on your website are all the albums?
You'll look under music.
Under...
SusanWorder.com and look under music.
Okay, I thought... There we go.
It's the torchy stuff. You like the I Can't Be New stuff.
That's it.
Yeah, I'll sing
I
that
Can't
for
Be
you.
New
sure.
is the one
I'll be
that,
happy to sing that for you.
I love that the songs from that CD. That's cool stuff. But you've also done gospel,
agnostic gospel,
which is even better.
Yeah,
as I tell people, you know, because some people, you know, say that I am their church on Sunday.
It's Sunday, that's right.
I'm a little embarrassed by it, but you know, I'll roll with it.
Well, there was that passage in the gospel where Jesus was at the wine. He blessed the wine, and he turned it organic. Yeah, people don't, but in Greek, if you translate it, it's
really
well. I might be stretching it, but
see, you can say anything about the Bible at all, and I'd fall for it. It's like anything at all. All right, hang on just a second. So we're going to start with Egg Money. Is that right?
Yeah, sure.
Love Egg Money.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to like this song. If you haven't been to Chalet Nursery this year, now would be a very good time to make the journey to the corner of Skokie Boulevard and Lake Avenue in Wilmette. One good reason is to see the physical changes in the nursery area, including the new entrance. Another is to take advantage of the vegetables that are on sale. It's really not too late to start growing, especially considering the cool weather we've had to start the season. Horticulture information specialist and my good buddy Jennifer Brennan says that they have a phenomenal selection of perennials locally grown from the Chalet Farm. Or, if tropicals are what you have in mind, there are new plants coming in all the time. But if you get if you need to get serious work done, like a diagnosis of a disease or insect infestation, take your samples to the Diagnostic Center where Jennifer or one of her colleagues will help to solve the problem. Chalet is located in Wilmette at the corner of Skokie Boulevard and Lake Avenue, just 10 minutes north of the Edens-Kennedy Junction. Go to chaletnursery.com. Chalet is a proud sponsor of Dig In Chicago.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. The health and beauty of your trees are dependent on more than just pruning. In fact, many problems that become visible in the canopy of a tree may be attributed to problems that lie below the ground. I'm sure, Susan, you know that 95% of what happens to your plants happens below the ground.
Happens below the ground. It's a root system.
That's right. It's all in the roots. It's all in the soil. The Care of Trees has a soil care program that consists of an array of services that promote healthy soils. The soils of urban trees are often neglected, and yet tree health is dependent upon fertile soils that are alive with diverse populations of microorganisms and available nutrients. As a home and tree owner, you can assist in promoting a healthy soil environment by working with the certified arborist at the Care of Trees. Call 800-508-9466. 800-508-9466. Call for a free consultation. If you call today, Sunday, leave a message and your call will be returned tomorrow. They promised me that they would do that. 800-508-9466 or go to thecareoftrees.com. The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish the greenest magazine in Chicago. Natural Awakenings is packed with fresh information to help you lead a more healthful and sustainable life. Whether you practice yoga or work out, shop fair trade, are mindful of the food you eat and grow, or want a greener and more balanced life, Natural Awakenings is your go-to source for making informed decisions. In print or online, each month you'll find the latest news about what's healthy for our bodies, our families, and the earth, as well as a complete calendar of local events. And did I tell you that the magazine is free and available at locations across northern Chicagoland? Or find us online at nachicagonorth.com. If you're a green or wellness business in search of like-minded consumers, our readers are your potential customers. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings Magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
I just got a tweet here. A couple that are very funny. My Skinny Garden writes, "What's wrong with being a city person?" I agree. Nothing. And Snappy J Dog
Just had a wonderful conversation with Jennifer from Des Plaines, a potential CSA customer.
There you go.
So when you do that, where's my? Here we are.
Thanks, Mike Novak.
That's what we play. Actually, that's Ron Cowgill's deal on Saturday morning. Now, Susan, you said you were going to do some background music for me if I do a spot?
There it is.
Oh, I love it. Oh, this is perfect for this, too. I've told you about the philosophy of Platte Hill Nursery in Bloomingdale and Carpentersville. The Platte Hill Nurseries are like your hometown bakery. They just grow plants instead of baking bread. And they have the same old-time devotion to quality and service that you expect with a locally owned specialty retailer. I feel like, you know, I got to kind of get in that sort of folksy thing when you hear the guitar going, okay? They're also passionate about organic methods and remedies in the garden, from fertilizers to insect disease and weed control to organic soils to heirloom and organic certified seeds and plants. Platte Hill Nursery has the products and expertise to help you grow green in so many ways. And visit PlatteHillNursery.com for how-to information on subjects like broadleaf evergreen care, butterfly and hummingbird gardens, plants for poor, wet, and dry soils, gardening with deer. And I'm sure you want to hand a deer a trowel as you're working in your garden. And much, much more. Platte Hill is located in Carpentersville on Randall Road, just 3 miles north of I-90, and in Bloomingdale on Lake Street, US 20, just 3 miles west of I-355. Go to PlatteHillNursery.com or like them on Facebook. Platte Hill is a proud sponsor of Dig In Chicago.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
PlatteHillNursery.com. How's that?
I'm charging them extra for that. That's cool. All right, that woman you're hearing singing in the background and giving me some musical support is Susan Werner. Her new CD is Hayseed, and she's going to do a little something from it. I think this song kind of speaks for itself, doesn't it? We'll talk about the genesis of all this, but why don't we just do it?
Okay.
He wore a straw hat on his head and a tomcat in his smile. I told him he should understand this before he walked me down the aisle. You can have the money from the oats, the money from the cow, the money from the goats, and the money from the sow. But don't you ever touch the egg money. That's crossing the line. Don't you ever touch the egg money. The egg money is mine. We had 7 good years. Then the trouble all began. First he started nipping at the gin, then he started seeing Marianne, then he started gambling dice, lost the horses and the plow. I felt behind the stove, there was nothing there now. He had taken all the egg money. That's crossing the line. Don't you ever touch the egg money. The egg money is mine. Leaving would have been the thing to do, but no one left in 1922. So the angel that I am poured the coffee in his cup, served his toast with butter and jam, and his eggs were sunny side up, and the eggs were maybe too old, and the eggs had maybe gone bad. 3 days and the body went cold. Doctor said it's terribly sad. Don't you ever touch the egg money. That's crossing the line. Don't you ever touch the egg money. The egg money is mine.
That's fantastic. Can you, you come every week?
You like songs about salmonella? You like those?
No, she likes
like
songs
murder.
About murder.
Yeah.
You got to understand, we got some tough women here in the studio. I think they appreciate Sarah especially. I don't know why. I just think.
That one spoke to you, huh? Yeah.
That's what I like about that song is that it's kind of representative of what you do, which is, I'm not going to use the NPR quote, but I will. They call you, what, Queen of the Unexpected or something like that.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Empress of the Unexpected. One would be driving something more glamorous than a 2003 Toyota minivan if one were an empress. So that's a big word.
You surprise people with your music. The other thing I like about your music. And now I'm going to have to get all these CDs, this is kind of flattering, but it's meant to be, like the Beatles, you are not content to go with the same genre all the time. You experiment in different ways, which is why you talked about the torch songs. You do kind of folky, you've done rock, you do novelty as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I've always liked that in groups. I'm always disappointed in groups that can't expand their horizons a little bit. You know, every song, you know, I'll give you an example. Boston, every single song sounded the same when Boston.
But you always knew there. I mean, it was Tom Scholz electric guitar. That sound was
yeah,
their sound
of course.
Signature. So.
Of course, that's true.
I think for someone who's a songwriter like me, the best thing I can do is continue to stay really interested and challenged and surprised by my own work. And then if I'm excited about it, the audience will get excited about it. So I keep moving from thing to thing. And this year's project is Hayseed, and it's all about farms and farmers and the people that love them.
Well, given that you grew up on a farm. In Iowa. Why didn't you do this sooner?
So my parents began to tell us about 2 years ago that it was time to move to town. And everyone in my family had known, you know, we knew this was coming. But it's such an emotional event. When your parents are farmers, your grandparents are farmers on both sides, your great-grandparents on both sides, your great-great-grandparents on both sides, your great all the way back. And all of us kids looked at each other like, are any of us doing this? Are we doing this? I mean, our parents worked hard so that we wouldn't have to, honestly, so that we wouldn't have to get up and you know, milk twice a day and never have a vacation. And we all went off to college and have good lives in cities.
And how many kids are there?
Six.
Ooh.
Six of us, yeah.
Yikes.
A bunch of them.
Yeah, but that was a lot of help on the farm, too.
That,
right?
Well, there is that, right? But by the you know, standards of the neighborhood for a Catholic family, they were underachievers only having six, I got to tell you. So the conversations began about what is going to happen to this. And they still have the land, the acreage, the buildings, and the house now belongs to a young man who I think, you know, I think that's good in the end, that he might start a family out there. That would make us all very happy.
Mm-hmm.
But the land they still have, and I have some ambitions, I got to tell you. I have some ideas about what I'd like to do with it.
For instance?
Well, I'd like to do something, if it comes to me to have a choice about it, I'd like to do probably organic soybeans. And maybe even if I can organize it, to have somebody out there and doing some vegetable farming.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see Iowa. You know, Iowa is only 2% organic farmland right now. Only 2%. And I'd like to see that number go up.
And I got to ask you about that, too, because where did your folks stand in terms of that? Were they conventional farmers?
Absolutely conventional farmers. But they started out. I mean, when I was a kid, I remember that it was a self-sustaining farm. Everything belonged to everything. You grew the corn, you grew the alfalfa, and it went to the cows and the hogs that you were raising right there on the farm. And yes, they had chickens, and yes, there was egg money. Mm-hmm. But then over
And I need to know, that where did that song come
the
from?
The egg money? Have you never heard of that turn of phrase before, the egg money?
Oh, no.
You have heard.
No, I know. I just want to know, you know. Did you have an encounter in an early part of your life?
No, it was just a story that came to me that seemed like a fun one to write a song about. How some kind of odd message about food safety. And there it is. So good morning to everyone listening. And if the eggs float, don't eat them. That's the answer. If the eggs float.
So your parents did this conventionally. So how did you make the transition to wanting to go more in an organic direction?
You know, one thing that happened was my sister and my nephew went, we all were home for a holiday, and my sister and my nephew went out to look for worms because my nephew wanted to go fishing. And there were no worms. There's no worms in the soil. If you go back where the grove is, then there's worms.
Mm-hmm.
And it has come to me, I mean, in the last several years, that a change is in order. I love my parents. I honor them and what they gave to me, and I appreciate it so much.
You know, and it's interesting because I see where you're going with this, and it is still a tribute to them.
Absolutely.
That you want to keep the farm and you just want to move it in a different direction. I'm always a little nervous because I don't know you and I haven't followed you, and I was picking up all the clues and I got them from your music.
Mm-hmm.
I got everything I needed to know from your music, and I went, okay, is she going to come in here? Because I am a city guy, mm-hmm. you know, as you said, well, there's the city guy. Mm-hmm. And I thought,
but you're not the enemy.
No, but
you're the customer.
I'm the customer, but am I the enemy? Sometimes I wonder if I'm the enemy of the conventional farmers, and I know that some guys think that I go too far.
No.
And my feeling is, we've gone very far in the one direction. Now it's time to go very far in the other direction. Let's see where we end up.
Look, there's the underdog, right? And organic and sustainable ag is still the underdog. It's way the underdog and way the minority. And yep. I have to tell you, there's plenty of interest looking out for conventional farming.
Yeah.
You don't have to be concerned about the farm bill.
I mean,
you don't have to be concerned in the least.
Do you have conversations with your parents about things like the farm bill and that sort of thing?
We do. But it's all, I have to tell you, it's all very friendly. We all love each other so much. We're a great family.
Oh, I didn't mean necessarily in a bad way, like it was not animosity.
There is such good feeling. And the thing I wanted to translate in this record, in the songs, was the affection that my parents have for this way of life. And their sense of values, being close to the land. My mother is a wonderful gardener, an absolutely wonderful vegetable and flower gardener. And my father is a farmer. My father looks at soil. I mean, he visited my brother in D.C. and he kicks the soil, or he kicks loose the grass. And he looks at it, and it's kind of red and clayey. He says, well, you can't do much with that. That's how farmers are. They look at the soil right away.
Yeah.
So it's affectionate and appreciative. And also, for me, there's a kind of advocacy that I think it's a moment for change. I want to be part of that conversation about change.
All right, let's do a song about change. Again, from Hayseed. We probably won't even get to the Torch song, but the one that I like is another one that I like. I like them all. That's the other thing. I like all your music. Snowmobiles.
Oh, you want to hear that? Okay.
Yeah, because it's the message of that song that is kind of, well, I'll just let people hear this, and then you can make up your own mind.
This song is called Snowmobiles, The Worries of Patrick Lundquist. The summer's hot, but the winter's cold. That's when the snowmobiles get sold. That's what we got up here. Snowmobiles and deer. It's how it is when you live up north. Winter lasts till July 4th. So we snowmobile till April, maybe longer. And my wife, she says the cold, it makes us stronger.
And we're strong up here, strong as 6-point beer. Comes to the weather, the weather is what it is. The summer's hot, but the winter's cool. They just closed the swimming pool on Columbus Day. It's getting late, I'd say. Of course, the kids, they think it's good. Swim all winter if they could. And my wife, she says it's only temporary. And it'll still be cold as hell come January. And I live for that. I got an Arctic cat. Comes to the weather. The weather is what it is. Or so I thought until a couple years ago. Now anymore we get a lot more rain than snow. I mean, it really rains a lot, and then whatever snow we got, it melts away in just a day. So strange. My wife, she says that nothing's changed. She says, Patrick, don't worry. She says, look outside, now there's a flurry. The summer's hot, but the winter's warm. We just had a thunderstorm on New Year's Eve. A first, I believe. All the farmers up and gone moved up to Saskatchewan. So we sit indoors around the kitchen table, drinking too much beer and watching too much cable, missing how it feels to ride snowmobiles back when the weather, well, it was what it was.
Very nice. And of course, that's where you get caught off guard by you. You know, a song about snowmobiles and the weather and how you can't even ride a snowmobile anymore. And it's a very particular country thing, you know, because people out in the Midwest and the northern Midwest love their snowmobiles and get around in the winter. And
it used to be so.
It used
and
to
be. And now it is less so. And, now it is much, much less so.
And you... In the city, you think, am I imagining things, or are we getting less snow than we used to get here before?
Uh-huh. Well, the snowmobile season is much, much shorter. And this last year, actually, it was the first snowmobile, and good snowmobile season in about 10 years. But it seemed like a different way to illustrate these concerns and the doubt, especially the doubt about global warming. It seems to me the wife character, right?
Mm-hmm.
She says, Patrick, don't worry. Oh, it's temporary. It'll be okay. To give those points of view personalities, I think that's what I enjoy most about writing.
We are talking to Susan Werner. She is a singer-songwriter. Her new CD is Hayseed. You can go to SusanWerner.com, SusanWerner.com. Go to my website, MikeNovak.net. I've got information about her gig coming up this week. It will be on, and you're just going to be really, really entertained here.
We are going to have big fun, Mike. I'm going to have my upright bass player from Nashville come up, and the Dobro Mando Wizard from Massachusetts coming in. We're just going to rock it. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. It's not just going to be acoustic here with
no,
her and the guitar.
We're going to come and get you.
Great. July 5th, Friday at City Winery. That's 1200 West Randolph Street in Chicago. Showtime, 8 p.m. Tickets range from $20 to $40. Call 312-733-9463 for more information. You can follow Susan on Facebook and Twitter. I've only gotten
two likes out of this so far, Susan.
Oh, we're not done working.
It's
too early for the West Coast.
Just want to make sure you're keeping up your end of the bargain here. I'm plugging the show. I got you singing songs here. We're talking farming. We're talking, you know, one of the things I like about what you're doing is, and I understand that this CD came about as a Pledge Music campaign?
Yeah, there's two components to it. The first one was the Pledge Music campaign. And Pledge Music, if you don't know, is like Kickstarter. And I dedicated the first 10% of whatever money came in to three charities in the upper Midwest that work on sustainable ag issues. One is my great good friends at the Practical Farmers of Iowa. I don't know if you know Teresa Oppheim over there, but they're such good people, Practical Farmers of Iowa.
I have to have her on the show then.
She's great.
Tell her to contact me.
Fantastic. They're the best. So Practical Farmers of Iowa. Another one is Midwest Organic and Sustainable Education Service up in
Moses.
Spring Valley. I went to their conference this year. It was a big fun. It was just great.
I want to go to their conference.
Oh, yeah. And that's why I met David Miller. I know you know David Miller. He's with Iroquois Farm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Iroquois
Valley.
Farm.
Yeah.
Iroquois Valley Farm.
Yeah. The investments.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Right.
And then also the third charity is the Land Institute in Salina, Kansas, mm-hmm. where Wes Jackson is. And I'm playing their Prairie Festival in September. It's a big mm-hmm. event. And so those three charities received the first 10% of all the money that came in. And it just felt good right from the get go to say, look, this is about advocacy as well as entertainment. It's about advocacy.
Okay, well, here's what I'm going to do. I want you to choose the next song, and I don't care where it comes from. Since you say you've got your list, I got to take care of some biz, so you get to process that. Which means I'm just, you know, tap dancing here and buying time.
It could
time.
Be a Neil Diamond tribute. Look out.
I am a cried. You know, except this week we go, hey, come into America.
Do it.
No.
They're coming to hit it. I'm here for you. Let's go.
That's all I know.
That's enough. Done right. That's
sweet
enough.
Caroline, ba-ba-ba.
Go ahead.
Good times never seem so good.
You're doing great. Keep going.
I'd be inclined
ba-ba-ba.
To believe there never would, but now. Sorry, dozed off there a little bit. I can't believe you just made me do that.
You were actually pretty good.
He was believable.
Okay.
He's available for parties.
I probably make more money than I'm making here.
With the frozen robins, you guys might have to do a Christmas in July.
See, and you got to understand, now this is weird. My brother does Neil Diamond karaoke in New York City.
Aha.
He loves going into the karaoke bars and doing Neil Diamond.
Mm-hmm.
He calls himself Neil Diamonde.
Of course.
So, yeah. I guess it's in the family. It's scary. It's in the blood. There's nothing we can do to get it out. All right. And I was just going to, that leads right in.
Crackling just... rose. La, 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 la. Yeah, guitar humming.
No, I was going to go, just sit right back and you hear a tale. A tale of a fateful trip that ended up in a Caribbean isle where they used to take a nip. Yes, I'm talking about Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew from Bonide, made in a fermenting bacterium, which is only found in one place in the world, the ruins of a rum distillery in the Caribbean. I bet you didn't know. This is a true story.
I did.
The bacterium was discovered in 1983, and the insecticide was developed for widespread use in agriculture, where growers wanted a natural way to control many insects on both ornamental and edible crops. Captain Jack's products are available in a number of consumer-friendly formulations. Oh, you can keep up the little thing. I like it. Concentrate, ready to use, ready to spray. And in a dust, make sure you always read and follow label directions. You can get Bonide's Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew at Alsip Bowman Garden in St. John, Indiana, Hawthorne Gardens in Hawthorne Woods, Illinois, Busy Bee in Glenwood, Illinois, or go to Bonide.com to find a retailer near you. Don't forget to download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or Droid. Go to Bonide.com.
Make this your best gardening season yet. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. Invest a bit of time now to ensure a bountiful harvest and beautiful landscape throughout the season. And let Milorganite, an eco-friendly, all-purpose fertilizer, help you accomplish your gardening goals. Start by adding several inches of organic matter to the top 6 to 12 inches of soil. Peat moss, compost, and other organic materials improve drainage in heavy clay soil and increase the water-holding ability of sandy soils. Incorporate Milorganite organic nitrogen fertilizer into all your planting beds. The low nitrogen formula makes it goof-proof so you won't harm young, tender plants. The slow-release formula provides small amounts of fertilizer over time, encouraging overall growth without preventing flowering and fruiting. And properly prepared soil will help your plantings better survive the heat, drought, and pest attacks of summer. So choose Milorganite for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com to find a store near you.
It's a great feeling to have pride in what you do, and Christy Weber has plenty to be proud of, and that makes sense on Pride Day. For 25 years now, Christy Weber Landscapes has been helping make Chicago just a little bit greener and that much more magnificent. What started out as a one-woman show, so to speak, and a push mower has blossomed into a company that's recognized as a leader in the industry. Christy isn't just mowing lawns these days. Her crews take care of some of the city's most cherished spots, like Hutchinson Field and Grant Park, where thousands of Chicagoans just gathered to rally around our champion Blackhawks. And she's also a huge Blackhawks fan, by the way. Wow, that was right on cue. Yeah. Really good. Okay. You can bet that Christy Weber was proud to be part of that celebration. And if you're looking for a yard, patio, or entertainment space that you can be proud of, think about hiring Christy Weber Landscapes. They'll bring the same experience and passion to your project that they bring to every job, from Wicker Park to Grant Park. Like them on Facebook and see them on the web at ChristyWeber.com. Christy Weber Landscapes, right in your own backyard.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687, for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
As we head into the first week of July, we all have one question on our minds. Where the heck did summer go? Never fear, gentle listener, you can pretend that it is summer by flipping through the pages of the July-August issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. For instance, remember the good old days last year when it was 100 degrees and it hadn't rained in weeks? Ah, that was living. Of course, that's the point. As meteorologist Rick DeMaio pointed out today, our weather has become consistently inconsistent. And actually, Susan Werner pointed that out in a song just a little while ago, which means that you want to plant trees that are going to be able to handle the extreme changes in weather. There's a terrific story by my friend and arborist Guy Sternberg. He of the lowest voice in the horticulture. He's from Star Hill Forest Arboretum. And it's about the different kinds of trees that you can grow and that will survive this kind of weather. We're talking about, well, you know what? I've got the magazine right here in my hot little hands. In fact, Susan, you're going to get a copy of this before you. So, and he talks about oaks, hickory, elm, black gum, Kentucky coffee tree, ironwood, cottonwood, big tooth aspen, northern catalpa, sycamore. How about sassafras, the best name ever for a tree? And persimmon, as in thanks for the flower persimmons, coven.
What?
I don't know what's wrong with me today. He has a few more, so you need a copy of the magazine. And then there's my column on the inside back page. All you can say about my column is it's despicable. Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Get a subscription. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600. Let's do one more, and then I'm turning it over to Ms. Werner. Are you having problems with your plants indoors or out?
Have you gone to a box store and been sold something that didn't even come close to treating the problem? Incorrect plant troubleshooting can cause major and costly problems. Bertholdt's Garden Center can help. Bring a sample of the plant to their garden center and they'll diagnose the problem with the use of a Celestron Amoeba digital microscope. I've always wanted one of those.
Yeah.
Which displays the image on a computer screen. When bringing in a specimen for diagnosis, please pay attention. Make sure the container is well sealed. I think that's, it should be number one, number two, and number 20. Bring in fresh samples, not left overnight or in extremely hot or cold conditions. Take samples from different areas of the plant, healthy foliage along with damaged sections. When you add digital pathology, a complete selection of conventional and organic and natural curatives, along with an expert staff, you've got the winning combination to restore your plant's health. Bertholdt's Garden Center is located at 434 East Devond Avenue in Elk Grove Village, just west of O'Hare Airport. Look for the iconic windmill out front or go to bertholdtsgardencenter.com. Here's a copy of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine.
Thank you, Mike. And also, just your mention of trees, and trees are changing. I've heard that the city of Chicago is changing the trees they're ordering now.
They, in advance for years.
Of concerns about warming.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're already buying different trees.
Well, and other things. It's like you can't plant an ash in the city of Chicago. What's the point?
You know, it's just not going to make it.
No, because of emerald ash borer. And so, and that list changes all the time. It's fascinating. Mm-hmm. You got 5 minutes. What do you think you're going to do?
Let's hit it a little bit hard so people don't think, you know, they're coming to some kind of...
Sounds good to me.
Quiet little singer-songrwriter with her... Revealing her.
Mousy is the word. Mousy.
Mousy and reluctant. Now we're going to rock it hard at City Winery on Friday night. This is a song that came to me when I was driving past the Belvedere Oasis. The Belvedere Oasis on the Kennedy. You know where this is. The Belvedere Oasis is headed westbound towards Dubuque, Iowa. Dubuque, Iowa. Those are the land. That's my people, Iowa. Iowa is a Native American word, as many of you know. A Native American word meaning land of weak coffee. Did you know that? That's what Iowa means. The Belvedere Oasis, by the way, I always think that should be a drink, the Belvedere Oasis. Don't you think it'd be a... Yeah.
I'll work on that for you.
Yeah, I look forward to that. About 6 o'clock tonight, we'll have a Belvedere Oasis. I didn't know how to tell you, darling. I didn't know how to find the words. But it's been about 100 years now since I've woken up and heard the birds. I've had enough of the concrete jungle. Had enough of the glass and steel. I need a little bit of weeds and thistles. I need a little bit of something real. Bye-bye, skyline. Disappearing in the rearview mirror. Hello, sunshine. And the air is getting clearer. Love you, honey, but I hope you understand. I just gotta get back to the land. I grew up on the open prairie, sky above, soil underneath. Alfalfa between my toes, a blade of oat straw between my teeth. Yes, I've always been a little bit backwards, and I do just the best I can. But I was raised in a barn, my darling. I was born with a farmer's tan. Bye-bye, skyline, disappearing in the rearview mirror. Sunshine, and the air is getting clearer. Love you, honey, but I hope you understand. I just gotta get back to the land. And hell, if I know what it means, might not mean a hill of beans. But I do know what beans mean. They mean about $12 a bushel. Corn will bring you $6. I gotta go get my fix, honey. Bye-bye, skyline. Leave the city and the crowds behind me. Hello, sunshine. Yes, I'm going where the sun can't find me. Love you, honey, and I know you know me well.
this time round I might be gone a spell. And if I never return, well, sweetheart, it's been swell. I just gotta get back, back. I gotta get back to the land, yeah. Get back, oh, get back, oh, get back, get on back to the land.
You are just messing with me there, aren't you? She's watching the clock, watching it count down, and she's waving the guitar and just coming in for a three-point landing. Ladies and gentlemen, Susan Werner, go to SusanWerner.com. She is going to be performing next Friday at City Winery, and that is 1200 West Randolph Street. It's been
Thanks,
a pleasure
Mike.
Having
Thank
you
Thank you,
here.
Honey. Good morning.
It's the end of the show, and we say go green or...
Go home.
Go home.